Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for another Sunday. Lord, we thank you for another week that you have brought us, Lord Jesus. By us being here today, for the people that's watching via Facebook, YouTube Live, Lord Jesus, we are here because you protected us another week, Lord Jesus. And we are grateful for that, Lord Jesus. We thank you for keeping us and protecting us from the danger seen and unseen, God, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, I ask that, for we ask that you forgive us for all our sins, Lord Jesus. Forgive us for the things that we said that were unlike you, Lord. Forgive us for the thoughts that crossed our mind that were unlike you, Lord Jesus. Forgive us for our actions, Lord Jesus, that was not like you, that was unlike you, Lord Jesus. I ask that you forgive us for the hidden things, Lord Jesus, the hidden things that we keep secret, Lord Jesus. I ask that you come into this service today, Lord Jesus. We welcome your presence here, Lord Jesus. We cannot worship you as much as you deserve, Lord Jesus, but we ask that you receive our worship today, Lord Jesus. Hear our prayer, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus. That's all we can say is thank you because you've been so good to us, Lord Jesus. You've been so kind to us, Lord Jesus. We thank you for forgiving us, Lord Jesus. We thank you that every time we mess up, we could come to you in prayer, Lord Jesus, and you hear us, Lord Jesus. Thank you for listening to us, Lord Jesus. Even when we don't feel like it sometimes, Lord, you are there. You hear us. You hear our cries. You hear our prayers. And we thank you. We thank you for being our Father, Lord Jesus. We thank you for guiding us, Lord Jesus. Lord, I ask that you keep the pastor, Lord Jesus. Give him a word, Lord Jesus. Keep him and his family, Lord Jesus. Continue to use him, Lord Jesus. Continue to guide him, Lord Jesus, as he may lead this church, Lord Jesus. Because it's not an easy job, Lord Jesus. So we thank you for him. And we ask again that you build, you come into this presence. Come into our presence, Lord Jesus, that we may behold again, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. Now we're going to go to our scripture by me again. I'm going to give people a chance to come on in. Thank God for the word of God, right? We're going to be at Galatians 5:22. It's a short, one scripture, short. But we thank you because his word is what leads us and guides us, and he gave us his word. So we thank him for that. Amen. So Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. Can I read that again? Amen. I said the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. Amen. May the word, may the Lord add a blessing to the reading of the word, of his word. Amen. Amen. Everybody comfortable? Okay. All right. Look at that. It came up before I even called them. Amen. We're going to have a sermonic selection. They already told me the song they're singing, so stand up. Okay? I think it's an upbeat song today, so I'm going to ask that you help us out. Thank you, drummer. And we're going to give God the praise that he deserves this morning. Amen. We may not have the panels, but he still deserves the praise, okay?
Got it. All right, this is a song that everyone knows, so we just want you guys to sing along with us.
And we're going to bless the Lord. The Lord said bless him at all times, and his praises shall continually be in my mouth. And so we're going to bless the Lord this morning. Come on and bless the Lord with me. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Come on and bless the Lord with me. Come on and bless the Lord with me. Come on and bless the Lord with me. Give him the highest praise. Hallelujah. 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 Come on and clap the Lord with me. Come on and praise the Lord with me. Come on and praise the Lord with me. Come on and praise the Lord with me.
Yes, we did. Hallelujah. Amen. It's time for the most important part. Amen. It is time for the Word of God. Amen. So we're going to call our pastor out. I ask that you, we are going to pray for him today. Amen. When I was coming in today, he told me that getting old is not good. Amen. So he said it, not me. But we're just going to continue to keep him as he get old. Amen. Here you go.
Now, of course, she took that a little out of context. After sitting for an hour driving, I'm stiff getting out of the car more this Sunday than usual. So that's what I was saying. It's one of the downsides about getting older. You get stiffer. Your body's not as fluid and elastic. And so that's just how it goes, right? Let the seniors say, I got my real church today. If I ain't got nothing else, I got my real church today. Come on, let's turn our attention to the Word of God. Josh, you got my slides? They up? Good man. See that? I got my work in early this week. Folks been complaining. Pastor, you ain't got no slides. I don't know where them. Now you got it. So if you're looking at the big board, we're going to start in the book of Genesis, chapter 11. I'm going to add to the witness out of the Gospel of St. John, 17th chapter. The First book of the Bible, Genesis, chapter 11. Bryce, you got a Bible, man? Get a Bible. Somebody get a Bible in his hand. If he doesn't have a phone, we got Bibles. Not just Bryce, anybody. Make sure you got a Bible. I'm always concerned that you read the Word of God for yourself. So you don't just say, well, the pastor said. It doesn't matter what the pastor says. What matters is what the Word of God says. So you hold the Word of God in your hand and you read it for yourself. Amen? Genesis 11, I'm going to add to the witness John 17. Okay. Now the whole earth had one language and one speech. Came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had brick for stone and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. The Lord said, indeed, the people are one. They all have one language. And this is what they begin to do. Now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. Verse 9, in conclusion, therefore, its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. Amen. Now the witness is John 17. And what I want to do, I'm going to read this chapter in its entirety. It's 26 verses. If you don't think you're able to stand for it, you're welcome to sit. You're welcome to sit. One of the things that we glean from the New Testament Gospels specifically about Jesus Christ is that he was a man of prayer. We glean that as you read the Gospels. Every now and then you read the Gospels and they say what? He rose early in the morning, right? Got a way to pray, right? It was early in the morning that he comes what? Walking on the sea after what? Being in prayer all night long, right? You just hear it. We never hear how he prays or what he prays. They just tell us what he prays, right? As a result of his prayer, he what? Performs miracles, right? So this morning, what I want to do by adding to the witness out of John 17, known to us as Jesus's high priestly prayer, this chapter is one of the few times recorded in the Gospels that we are given the privilege of hearing how Jesus prays. We get to hear how he prays. More importantly, we get to hear what he prays for. Are you, all the other times we just hear the what? That he prayed. Jesus got up early, prayed. Jesus got separated himself from, and we don't know what he prayed for. We don't know how he prayed. But John 17 gives us a direct insight into what Jesus prayed for. Are you with me? Again, I'm going to invite you. It's 26 verses. And you, if you understand anything about me, when I read, I'm going to read my Bible slow. I encourage you to do the same. So if you want to sit down, you're more than welcome. But here's the key to the whole sermon. Everything I'm doing this morning is in Jesus' prayer. And this is the key. It's in your hand. If you get it, you're great. If you don't, well, listen to what he prays for. It's one of the few times you get a chance to hear Jesus pray, not your pastor pray, not your mother pray, not your grandfather, but to hear the Son of God pray. So I encourage you to listen. Are you with me? If I got your attention, say, you got it, Pastor. Jesus spoke these words. He lifted up his eyes to heaven and he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. Listen how he prays. Listen what he prays for. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Father, I've glorified you on the earth, and I have finished the work which you have given me to do. Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. This is Jesus is praying, y'all. You got, this is how Jesus prayed. I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me. And they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given to them the words which you have given me. They have received them and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. So now I pray for them. I do not pray for the world. Y'all hear that? He's being clear with the, I pray for the men you have given me. So that there's no confusion, I'm going to verbally say, I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me. For they are yours. This is Jesus praying. And all mine are yours. Yours are mine. And I am glorified in the, now I am no longer in the world. Death is imminent. The thing for which I came into the earth. He said it when he started his prayer. The hour is at hand. It's over for me. This is it. All right? Here it is. No longer in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to you, Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me. Are you listening? Keep listening. That they may be one as we are. You got it? If you got it, say, I got it. This is Jesus praying. This is not your pastor praying. This is how Jesus prays. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept. And none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you. These things I speak in the world, that they may have joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just or even as I am not of the world. Right? Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. That's how we are sanctified. That's how we are purified, by the word of God. Are you with me? And as you have sent me into the world, I have also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. All right, verse 20. We're in the home stretch. Now, I really want you to listen to these remaining verses. All of that stuff beforehand, you didn't realize it. To make it clear, who he was praying for was specifically the 11. That's who the Father gave him. Jesus had an assignment. Go, this is it. This is why I came in the volume of, this is what I'm here to do. And along with his assignment, listen, this is helpful, he gave him help. Are you listening to me? Jesus had a specific assignment to which the Father gave him help, and the help were the 11. And so what we just read, Jesus is praying specifically for the 11. That's what we just, that's the first part of his prayer. Better part of his prayer, right? For the 11. Now we're in the final stretch, right? Turn our attention to the word of God. He says, I do not pray for these alone, referring to the 11, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Who's he talking about? Everybody in here. Because everybody in here, anything we believe about God, we believe it because of what? Because of the word. Whose word is this? This is the 11's word. Matthew wrote this. John wrote this. Mark wrote this. So we believe on Jesus, whom we have not seen. We don't know. We believe because of what? Of what they said. Right? This is the good news. We weren't there. We weren't with him. But they wrote it down so that we would have what? A witness. Right? The word says what? Faith cometh by what? Hearing. Got to hear something. What? About Jesus. They wrote it down so we could hear something. Here, then let me get out of this. I'm fooling around and I don't need to. See, I don't pray for these, but I pray for those. Believe in me through their word. That's us. Listen what Jesus prays for us. That they all may be one. As you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us. Anybody listening to Jesus pray? that the world may believe that you sent me. God, make them one with us so that the world will continue to believe that you sent me. Well, what's going to make them believe that the people are one? This is Jesus praying. You make your own of it. And the glory which you gave me, listen here, I've given them. The 11 got glory. Guess what? All of us, we share in the glory of Jesus. That's why we are called joint heirs with Christ. What he gets, I get. It's, look at somebody tell, it's the same glory. The same glory. Jesus said what when he prayed? He said, Father, glorify me now with what? The glory I once had. Give it back to me. I've been faithful. I honored you. I was obedient. Give me the glory back. But this time when you give it, let some of it spill over. Let the first part fall on the 11 who were with me. And then let some more spill over on those that believe the word of the 11. The same glory, y'all. Here it is. The glory which you gave me, I've given them. And I've given it to them for one purpose. That they may be what? One. Just. We are one. I am in them. You are in me. That they may be made perfect in what? Are you guys listening to Jesus pray at all? What is he praying for? Oneness. Never once did he say, I pray that they be blessed. Never once did he pray, Lord, I don't want to have them to get sick. Keep all manner of disease and sick. He never prayed that. He never prayed that they be rich. He never said, Father, open up. Give them Solomon's. He never prayed that. He never prayed that. He never prayed that their families be blessed. He never prayed. You're reading verbatim what Jesus prayed. Listen to what he prayed for. Didn't pray that they be blessed. Didn't pray that they go to college and graduate. That's not what he prayed for. What he prayed for is that they would be one with him and the Father and each other. And the cord of oneness that runs from the Father through the Son, through the Spirit, and us is the Word of God. This is what Jesus prayed for. Compare his prayer to yours. This is what Jesus prayed for. On the night before his death, he didn't say, Father, protect him. Don't let the Romans kill them. Don't call their people, the Jews, to hate them. Didn't pray for that. Said, Father, make them one. I'm pointing this out because I want you to understand there is power in oneness. Right? If I stop now, I preach the whole sermon. That's why he prayed for it. Because there is something supernaturally released when people come together as one. Okay, that's enough. Yep, sit down. That's it. I'm not going to read anymore. Wait, how many people, by a show of hands, know the story of the Tower of Babel? You know that story. Raise your hand. fair. That's fair. Some do, some don't. Some will, some won't. So with whatever time I got left, you realize I don't have to pray because Jesus done prayed. If you ain't stirred in your spirit by Jesus praying, nothing I say gonna do anything for you, right? So we're gonna work this story of Babel. So I'm gonna do that. But I really don't want the story of Babel. I want a piece of it. But for those that are not familiar with the Tower of Babel, I want to tell the story in its entirety, lest I leave you with a fragmented understanding, okay? So I'm going to do my best. I'm going to tell the story of Babel, right? And then I'm going to circle back, and I'm going to lift up just a piece of it, right, for our benefit. If you got your Bibles, go to Genesis 1. Genesis 9. Genesis chapter 9. You should already be at 11. Flip back and go to 9. Right? To understand the story of Babel, you must go to Genesis 9:1. You got it? So God blessed Noah and his sons. That's powerful right there. Anybody see that? Anybody know why that is powerful? Open mic. Who can tell? Why is that singular statement so powerful? Huh? That's good. You're thinking. Not the right end, but he's thinking. This is after the flood. This is it. This is why that statement is so powerful. So God blessed Noah. Now I understand why God blessed Noah. Because Noah was faithful. Noah preached about rain for 600 years when it was sunny and 80 every day. And he kept telling people it was going to rain. 600 years he was faithful to the message. No evidence to support what he was saying. No nothing. It had never rained before. 600 years he preached the same message every Sunday. Same people. It's faithful. So I understand why God blessed him. He's faithful. This is the point you need to understand when you read this. It's not only did he bless Noah, but he blessed who? Let the parents say, amen. Do you see that? That's what God does. God does that because God, unlike us, God is what? Eternal. Anything God does, it what? Perpetuates forever. That's what makes him God. That's why God doesn't have to say, let there be light every Monday morning. He said it one time, and what? Every morning there's what? There's light. Every morning what? The sun. He doesn't have to recreate. He did it what? One time. And because he is eternal, it what? It just keeps happening. That's why the flood, the seas of the earth can never, ever again cover the earth. Right? Because God would say, let the land appear. So it doesn't matter how angry or stirred up the seas get and come inward on the land, they always got to do what? They got to fall back. Why? Because his word is still going. His word is still saying, bring forth the land, and he's got to fall back. Got to fall back. Why? Because he's eternal. Therefore, his word is eternal. Therefore, his blessings are what? Therefore, Noah gets blessed and his children. If you're not excited about your God, I don't know why. All it takes is one good man, one good woman to start a cycle of blessing in your family's house that goes on for generation after generation. Your great, great, great grandchildren, who you will never know or see, will bless your name all their life. Because they'll be living in the blessing God gave you. Because my grandfather was faithful, I live in the overflow. Why? Because when God decided to bless my father, he blessed his what? Son. He blessed his son's son. Okay, that, whatever. Here it is. This is Babel, though. Oh, man, I'm fooling around. No one, and then he said to them, this is Babel. Right here. Be fruitful, multiply. And, this is the Tower of Babel right here. Fill the earth. Right? You might have a translation that says, spread out over all the earth. You guys with me? It's the Tower of Babel right there. Be fruitful, multiply, right? Let your family increase. But as your family increase, what did he tell them to do? As their family increase, what did he tell them to do? Spread out. Spread out. Don't settle nowhere. Keep moving. All right? This is the word of God. Genesis 9:1. This is the Tower of Babel. All right? This is after the flood. Only people alive are Noah and his son. Multiply. Fruitful. And as you start having kids and your kids have kids, spread out. Spread out. Keep moving. Look at somebody and say, keep moving. Genesis 11. Now after the whole earth. One language, one speech came to pass. They journeyed from the east that they found a plain. The land of Shinar. Don't look at me. Look at your Bible. The answer is in the Bible. It's not in me. What's the last couple words? Huh? Hello. And they dwelt there. If I stop there, you got the sermon. What's the sermon? What's the message? What's the point of, what's the tension now? What did I just spend the last 5 minutes talking about? They were the what? That was in 9:1. They were to spread out. Now I'm in 11:2 and they decide to do what? Decide to stop. They found a plane that looked good, looked nice. They said, hey, let's stop moving. Let's hang out here. I'm in the Word of God. I don't care what you say. I'm in the Word of God. Right? 9, Jesus, God gives them a specific command. Be fruitful and multiply. And as you multiply, what? Keep moving. Spread out. They start out doing that. Then a guy named Nimrod said, hey, let's stop here. Let's stop spreading out. Let's stop here. This is the Tower of Babel. I'm giving you the sermon. If I stop there, that's the whole sermon because you got what? That's the what? That's the tension. God said move, and a guy named Nimrod said what? Stop. If I stop there, you got the sermon, right? Here it is. They said to one another, come, let us make bricks, bake them thoroughly. They had brick for stone and asphalt for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Right? Here's the motivation right here. The reason why they're doing, the reason why they stopped, the reason why they're going to build this city. Here it is right here. Right? You looking? Let us make a name. For ourselves. We no longer want to be known as the sons of Noah. And we're going to build this tower as a visual sign that we no longer want to serve the God of Noah. This is what you call open rebellion. God said, scatter, move, spread out. Nimrod, in the chapter 10, you read it, you get his name. Nimrod said, no, we're not going any further. We're going to stay right here. We're going to build ourselves a city, meaning permanence. God wanted them to be wandering, spread, keep moving. Said, no. We're going to get brick and mortar. We're going to build permanent structures here. Let us build a tower up into heaven so that God could see and know we no longer worship Noah's God. Why? Because we are going to make a name. Are y'all reading this story? Watch out for folks trying to make a name for themselves. Their end is always destruction. All right, let me keep going. This is why it's open rebellion. Listen what he said. We want to make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole. This is why I said it's open rebellion. Because God said what? Scatter over what? The face of the whole earth. They said, no, we're going to build a city in that tower so that we won't. Open rebellion against God. Listen, now this is us. Get this. This is find yourself in the sermon. That's the part when you listen to it, you got to find yourself. What does this sermon mean? This is us in the sermon. They didn't want to serve Noah's God, but they still wanted Noah's God . That's me and you. Don't look at Nimrod, and that's us. We want to rebel against God, but then we still want that God to answer our prayers. Even when we tell him no. Even when we disobey. Are you with me? If you got it, say I got it. I'm done with it now. You got it. Ain't no need to beat a dead horse. Here it is. Five, the Lord came down to see the city and the tower. This is what God says in comparing himself to humanity. He said, my ways are higher than your ways. He says, my thoughts so much higher. No matter what humanity does. I've watching the news for the weekend, I guess, end of the week. And so much of the news was about this spaceship in space. And that this spaceship was now doing things that was unimaginable 20 years ago. Just a non-astronaut. That means someone like you and me was now living in space. Not even imaginable 20 years ago. So imagine what's going to be happening 20, 40 years from now. It won't be a man in space. It'll be what? It'll be a collection of men and women living in space. George Jetson coming to roost. It's George Jetson, baby. George Jetson was good theology. It's just coming to pass. It's going to happen. You may die before it does, but it will happen. People like you and I will call Mars their home. That's where you'll send your mail to. It's going to happen. You don't have to believe it, but it's going to happen. The point I want to, the reason why I want to bring that up, even when we get there and beyond there, look what the text says. For God to notice any of it, Shanita. You see what the text says? He's going to have to what? Come down. That's how far beneath God it'll be. It'll be our greatest accomplishment. Once our greatest accomplishment was to send a man to the moon. Our next greatest accomplishment is to have people living on the moon. But even when we do it, God still will have to what? Come down. It'll be our wildest dream. It'll be our greatest success. But it's still somewhere up under. And for God to even notice it, one of his angels will say, let us take you down and see what the sun... I'm wasting my breath because obviously you don't get it, but whatever. That's fine. That's fine. You don't. He says, come, let us go now, see the city and the town. Sons of Israel said, and the Lord said, indeed the people are one and they all have one language. And this is what they begin to do. Now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. It's one of the most powerful statements in the entire Bible. God said, again, not your pastor, not your bishop, God said, indeed, the people are what? Right? Because they're one, they have what? Power in oneness. So much power. Look what God has to say. Nothing they propose to do can be withheld from them. Seven, Eretz, come, let us go down. Confuse their language that they may not understand one another's speech. I'm going to give you all this. This ain't in the sermon. I'm going to give it to you. There's power in oneness. Do you know what makes the Trinity the Trinity? Unit, oneness. That is what makes God, God.
Put
is what the text said. He said, let who? Let us. Who's the us? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. They were all in what? Agreement. Oneness. Right? He said, let us. Because Nimrod and his people, watch this. This is how powerful oneness is. They were one with an evil motive and were still successful. That's why gangs thrive. We sit here and we think all the gang boys are stupid. They're smarter than any person in an Ivy League institution. Smarter. And got less student loan debt. And they teach one lesson. Oneness. That's all they talk about. One. We're one. This is what we're doing. This is where we're going. This is how we're going to do it. They thrive all over the world. And they got evil motives. But that's how powerful the principle of oneness is. That even with a wicked or evil motive, it is still successful. What you see here? Nimrod was doing an evil thing, blatant disobedience to God, open rebellion. But yet they were being what? Successful. They were getting that tower built. So God said, come on, let us meet oneness with oneness. Here we go. Here it is. Come, let us go down. Confuse their language that they may not understand one another's speech. The thing that always amazes me about this text, why didn't God just stop it? Why didn't he just wave his hand? Why didn't he just speak a word? We're on the back end of the flood. If not a flood, do something else. Just wipe them all out. Let the earth open up and swallow them. He can do that, right? He's done it before. It's in the Word of God. Why didn't he do it now? Well, that's the reason he wouldn't flood them out again. But he could destroy them. God can kill you so many different ways. It's not even funny. God could have a fish come up and swallow you. I mean, God get tired thinking of so many ways to kill us. Because it's so many. So it's not that. But why didn't he just kill them? I'm going to say something that's going to shock you. The majority of you won't believe me. He couldn't. And you know why? Because the people were one. God even recognizes the power of oneness. He said, no matter what I do, it'll only be a setback. But all they'll do is what? Come back. Why? They were one. They made up their mind. This thing is going to happen, hell or high water. And God recognized it. So even God took note, put it in the record. That the people are one. And whatever they set their mind to do, they will do it. That's the power of oneness. Are you with me? So Jesus said, well, how can I stop them? If they're one, they're going to get it done regardless. So it's infinite wisdom. He said, I got it. Always remember, your God's a strategist. Your God is not a God of just power. God is smarter than you and me. My ways above your ways. My thoughts above your thoughts. God said, I know what I'm doing. This is how I'm going to come against it. I'm going to come against it with a strategy. Two things happen with God's strategy. One, the strategy is, what's the strategy? Change the languages. Alright? The thing that allowed us to work together so well is that we spoke the same. So I could get all the people on what? The same page. They understood what I said. Right? God said, okay, I can't come against them with brute force because they got the power of oneness working. I'm going to come against them with a strategy. God said, here's my strategy. I'm going to change the language. Monday morning, I get up and I'm at rap. He's confused. Why? Different language now. Can't get on the same page now. Don't know what you say. I can see you talking, but I can't. The witness says, in all thy getting, get what? Most important thing you can ever get is an understanding. Because they couldn't get an understanding, it defeated their what? Their oneness. So with God's strategy, change the languages. They what? He stops their disobedient act. Stops it dead in its track. Whole building project came to an end. Why? Because they couldn't speak. Let me show you the wisdom of God. Come, let us come down, confuse their language, 7, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of the earth, and they ceased building the city. With his strategy, he got two things accomplished. One, he stopped them from building, and he also did what? He scattered them. Which was what? Which was his original plan from the beginning. The very thing they tried to stop was the very thing God got done with a strategy. Not with brute force. He didn't come with a wind. He didn't come with an earthquake. He came with a strategy.
I'm going to mess up that language. Diffuse that one. As a result, they're going to stop building this wicked city, which is an affront to me.
And then it's going to force those of a similar language to gather, since we now all talk the same way, and what? Walk, find a new place to live. And thereby execute God's plan from the beginning. Do you see that? So one of the things I want to tell you is that what God wants, God's going to get it. Whether you cooperate with him or not. I'm just putting that out there. I'm just putting that out there. If you want it, take it. If you don't, leave it on the table. God is going to accomplish his purpose with or without you. Now, as your pastor, I'm going to make a suggestion. It might be, weigh it out and see, in your best interest and mine, since he's going to get it done anyway, to come in cooperation with God and get with Him on His program. Because if I get with Him on His program, number one, I already know I'm going to what? I'm going to win. God's going to win. You haven't gotten that out of your Bible. You haven't. God wins in the end. He wins in the beginning. He wins in the middle. God's going to win. So if you want to be on the winning, just get on God's team. Right? And if you get on God's team, not only do you win, remember 9-1, you get God's blessing. So you win in style. You win looking good. You win. Wait, somebody find this. The blessings of the Lord addeth no sorrow. That's what I want. That means God blesses you in such a way it doesn't cost you nothing. That's how I want to be blessed. Some people in this world are blessed, but they're cursed at the same time. They got great riches, but what? They're in the hospital all the time. They got a great home, but what? None of their kids ever come back. They're blessed. You and I look at them and say, oh my God, this home is crazy. But none of their kids ever come home or call home. I don't want that kind of home. I want a home where I can hear my grandkids in the yard. I don't want them in my room messing up my stuff. But I want to know they're what? They're in my atmosphere. That's the fruit of my womb. That's God's blessing to me. Right? So you can be blessed, but be cursed at this. But God says, the blessing of the Lord added. That means you're blessed on top of being blessed. You're blessed and you don't owe nobody. I don't want to be blessed by you, and every time I see you, you looking at me like this. Where my money?
That's why I don't want to be blessed by Mr. Money. That's the witness right there. I can't even come in and praise the Lord without everybody.
Pastor, that money I put in the offering, that wasn't a love, that was a loan. We got to discuss. I need that money back. Killing my joy. Killing my praise. I'm finished with it. The Lord scattered them. Whatever. Here it is, Babel. Because there he confused them. For all of the young kids, all of the young people, look at me. Adults too, but specifically young people. This is where diverse languages come from. Babel. Because it was there that God confused the single language of the whole earth. You study this out, the linguistical history, it was at Babel that the pre-origins to Arabic, German, Swahili, Spanish, this didn't just start down in Mexico. Started at Babel. The precursor to every language started right here. So regardless of what they teaching you in your fancy school, all your fancy doctor classes, all this term, you just say, Doc, come on. My pastor gave me the real deal. It started at Babel. That's why I know where it came from. I know Latin's not the original language. No. It started at Babel. Every tongue, your language is known and named in this world today. Right there. Because it was God's strategy to diffuse the power of oneness. Now, that's it. I'm over my time. What I wanted was what I started to harp on. The Trinity comes down from heaven And they make this statement, the people are one. They got one language. Right, here it is. Josh got my slide up. They got one vision. Do you know what the opposite of vision is? The opposite of vision is what? Division. Division. Vision is one. One aim, one goal, one. Division is what? You got your plan, you got, and never the twain meet. When God came down, he said, look, they got one vision. Then he said, what? They all have the same language. They all talking about what? The same thing. Wasn't nobody talking about going back east. Wasn't nobody talking about going visiting Grandpa Noah. Wasn't nobody talking about that. They had one goal, one language. That's all we're talking about. City and a tower. That's all we're talking about. And they had what? He said, and they had one purpose. So God said, anything they decide to do, there'll be an unstoppable force in the earth. All because of what? They had tapped into the power of oneness. So why preach this message? Why talk about the Tower of Babel? Do you understand the principle and power of oneness changes your whole life? You want your marriage to be better. I just gave you the key right there. It's the power of oneness. You and your companion, get on the same page. Talk about the same thing. If you want your house to be blessed, whoever's in your house, you and your kids, mom, whoever, just get the whole house together and get what? Get on the same page. Get a vision for your family. Let's agree that we're at least going to go this way. And then let's get everybody pulling in that direction. It will release the power of oneness, which in and of itself is an unstoppable force in this world, witnessed to by God himself. God said it. You ain't got to believe me. Believe what the word of God. God said this thing that they shall do it. Whatever's going on in your life that is an obstacle that is preventing you from moving forward, going forward. Seems like every time you get up, you go back. When you chart your course, you're no further ahead than when you started. This Sunday morning, I want to suggest, why don't you try the power of oneness? Pastor, I'm not married. Pastor, I don't have anybody. I live by myself. Get on the same page with God. Remember what he prayed for. He prayed that what? That we would be what? One. With who? With him. Even as he was one with the Father. So if you're single and out on your own, doing your own thing, get on the same page with God and release the power of oneness in your own house and bring yourself back under the blessing of Noah. If you're in a house and you're not by yourself and someone else is there, whether it's companion, whether it's kids, whether it's grandkids, whether it's adopted, whether it's you and a stray cat, you get that cat and y'all sit at that table. Y'all think I'm fooling around. Tell that cat we're getting on the same page. Some way, somehow, you got to stop littering. You got whatever it is. Get on the same page. I'm telling you, the power of oneness will work for you. But to be one, why doesn't this work more and you see it more? The reason why we don't see more examples of the power of oneness is because of what Christ showed us. At Calvary. In order to have oneness, you must die. Your will has to die. Your goals, your plans, they gotta die. Because if they don't die, we'll never have a single vision. Because you'll always have God's will here and your will here. Jesus prayed for oneness, but more importantly, he did what? He died for oneness. When he died, he made himself one. That was the Father's will. He told him, he said, I can call down, I could stop this now. Or, I done preached this sermon, you already got it. It's not the cross that's so significant, right? It's the what? It's the cup at Gethsemane. Because at Gethsemane, that's where he really died. We got all these emblems and we blinged out and crosses. You got the wrong thing blinged out. The thing you really need to bring out is the cup. That's where he really died at, was in Gethsemane. Because it was in Gethsemane that he released the power of oneness. When he said, what? Not my will. I'm going to get on board with your plan for my life. And the only way it can be done is I got to die out to myself. Church, that's the message. I didn't want to get you all excited about the power of oneness without informing you of the cost it requires. You can have it anywhere in your life. The power of one, you just got to come in agreement. Get on the same page. One vision. One language. One purpose. And the power of oneness will be released. Even if you're doing something evil, it's a principle. It will, the power of oneness will work for you. I encourage you to use the oneness for good. For God's purpose. For God's glory. But I would be an unfaithful pastor if I told you it wouldn't cost you nothing. I'd be an unfaithful pastor. Power of oneness is great, but it's going to cost you dying out to another's will. Shall we all stand? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed and holy is your name. Thank you this morning for allowing us to hear you pray. Thank you for your single aim in praying for us. That we be one. Even as you and the Father are one. So I, Lord, I pray for us. Everyone under the sound of my voice. That you would give us the courage, the boldness, and the strength to pursue oneness with whoever you have joined us with. Could it be a companion, offspring, friend, business partnership, whatever, whoever you've joined us with. Release the power of oneness. That we might abide under the blessing of God Himself. And not only us, but our sons. And our sons' sons. Even to the fourth generation. And so, Father, I pray for these that you have given me as an under-shepherd. Help me to be a faithful watchman on the wall. Even as I care for their souls under your care. Stir us up to good works, to righteousness and godliness. Release the power of oneness in us and through us, that we might do great exploits in your name. This is my humble prayer request. I ask it in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. And everybody say, Amen. God bless you, Taylor.
Amen. Thank God for the word. Amen. Did you guys learn something? Amen, amen. I know I did. You know what's funny, and I'm gonna talk about him. He's not here, but when we were younger, as kids, me, my brother, and my sister, when we would act up or not listen to my dad, he would say, "Y'all acting like them rocks," and I never knew what or who that was till today. So I definitely want to thank the pastor for letting me know who that is. And I sure will be giving my dad a call after church to figure out why he refers to us as Nimrod. Okay. So now we're going to move along with the service. We're going to have our sister Kennedy McCoy come up and do our offering for us.
Good morning to the Taylor Tabernacle family and friends. At this time, we will gather to worship through giving. This morning, you may give through one of five ways, including text to give, online giving through our website, Venmo, or also by using the U.S. Postal Mail. To give by text message, text the code TAYLOR61 to the phone number 73256. And you will receive a link and instruction. To give through our website, please go to taylortabernacle.com/giving and follow the instructions. To give by U.S. mail, please send check or money order to Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, PA 19139. Venmo at taylor-tabernacle-6309. For those gathered with us in the sanctuary today, you will find two offering baskets next to the side ramp door, one for your tithe/offerings and one for the preacher. Please place your sealed envelopes in the basket as you exit the sanctuary. Pastor via Cash App or Venmo. Cash App dollar sign Pastor Jonathan Ford. Venmo Jonathan-Ford-25. As always, we thank you for your continued support of our ministry.
Amen. Thank God for Sister Kennedy. She is very faithful and consistent with reinting the offering. And she doesn't give us a hard time, okay? Amen for her. And now we're going to have our announcement by our Sister Shalia Davis. Amen.
Good morning, Taylor. The pastor and leadership team would like to thank you for joining us this Sunday. Our live stream service will continue via Facebook and YouTube Live so that you may continue to join us for in worship, so that you may continue to join us in worship from your home. Remember to hit subscribe right there on the YouTube page or follow us on Facebook at Taylor Tabernacle so that you are informed and up to date with all of our upcoming gatherings and dates. If you are not receiving our weekly emails, please send us your new email address and we will add you to the list. When you decide to join us for in-person worship, please be sure to check your temperature before leaving home and bring a mask to wear. If you or someone in your family has been in contact with anyone who has had the COVID-19 virus, we encourage you to please stay home. Every first Sunday, we will gather 8:30 a.m. in-person corporate prayer following morning worship at 10 a.m. We will have no PBS on the 18th of September. Wednesday night prayer and Bible study at 7 p.m. via Google Meet. Sunday school from 8:30 to 9 a.m. via Google Meet. We look forward to seeing your child every second, third, fourth, and fifth Sundays. Please remember Pastor Ford's YLE challenge. Farmers Market will be held September 21st, 12 p.m. to 4 p.m. That concludes our announcement.
Amen. All right. Now we'll call our pastor out for the benediction.
Hey, just a few things I want to say just in closing. One, this coming Saturday is our Farmers Market event. It's probably the single largest outreach event that we do as a church annually. This year is different. This year we are partnering with Bible Union Fellowship. This year we're going to move the market from outside of our church into the garage and open air space of Bible Union. That's all happening next Saturday. So here's my ask. Number one, I need everyone to participate. So if you're here in the sanctuary, if you're upstairs in the overflow, if you're listening virtually, if you're anywhere near Philadelphia next Sunday, I need you to be here. That's number one. Number two, I need you to wear either a tailor shirt or a tie shirt, right? We want the community to know who we are. So have a tailor or tie shirt on. And here's the ask. Here it is. I need everyone here by 9 a.m. Okay? Not 10, not 11. The fair starts at 12, right? But we've got a lot of stuff we got to move. So I need men and I need young men here by 9. I need women here to help organize, fold, distribute. We got to have everyone working together because we got to take the whole circus on the road. Right? And then above all, this is the big ask, all day long, I'm asking everyone to be nice. Matter of fact, I'm going beyond asking. I'm going to pray for it. Y'all heard what Jesus prayed. I'm telling you what I'm praying for this week. that the people of God would, through this farmer's market, one of the things we're going to have is a prayer station. Amongst all of the fruit, the vegetables, all the vendors, we're having a prayer. We will have a greater opportunity this Saturday than we will any Sunday in the year when we gather in here. Because in here is just what? It's just us. Next Saturday from 12 to 4, it'll be what? The whole neighborhood. We working. All of Cobbs Creek is going to descend on Pine Street. What an opportunity to let the light of Jesus Christ shine bright. Right? And he shines brightest when we're what? Nice. Tell you. He shines brightest when we're nice. So are you guys with me on that? Here in the sanctuary, you, those that are you streaming, I need you. No virtual next Saturday. I need you here in the house, 9 a.m. Lots to get done. Get over there, get set up so everything will run smoothly. And then you gotta hang out because everything we take over there, we gotta what? Gotta turn around and bring it back. All right? So it's a long day. Okay? But together we can do it. Cause what? We're gonna have the power of what? Oneness. Say, man, that pastor set us up. All of that huffing and puffing just to get me here at 9 a.m. Hey, I want to remind you on next Sunday, that Saturday, next Sunday, the Kappas will be in town. I need you to come back on Sunday morning and be nice as various Kappa brothers from around the East Coast will be in town. We expect a handful to come through. It's our big scholarship weekend as we raise money for young black men. We're going to top it off by fellowship here at the Tabernacle. So I need you on Sunday. I need you to be nice to them as well. I think it's going to be a great weekend. Amen? And I think that was everything we needed to get done. Father in heaven, we thank you for the privilege that we have had today to huddle ourselves around the Word of God and to feel the heat and the warm embrace of the flame of God. Father, I pray that your word has fallen on good ground and that in the days and weeks and years ahead, it would spring up into life everlasting. Bless these, your people. Cause your grace to go with them, rest upon them. Cause the favor of God to come up behind them and overtake them. This is my hope and prayer that I ask in the name of your beloved Son, the Christ. Amen. God bless you, Taylor.